Hi everyone, this is Dave Matthews, Personal Navigation. This is the start of a weekly slot I'm going to be doing to try and help everybody to navigate the person, use the person, you know, the legal person. Been involved, you know, just a bit about background about myself. I've been involved in this sort of law movement, stroke free man on the land, for around 4 years. Tested loads and loads of methods, etc. Just playing about with the sort of magistrates court system, seeing what works, what doesn't work. We've been having a lot of success using sort of Dean Clifford's methods mainly, you know, just understanding what the legal person is. And there's still mass confusion and people are still very, very frightened of the legal person. And you know, hear people going into court and saying, you know, I'm not the legal person, or, you know, just making silly arguments really and trying to claim common law jurisdiction and a few things like that. There has been the odd success, but basically I'm going to try and teach you in more of a way where you'll get success every time you go into the courtroom. So that's basically what I'm going to be covering. If what I would like very much, though, if I talk for sort of the first half an hour, explain some points and capacities of the person, etc., some of the courtroom procedure stuff, what I'd like very much then is if people could, you know, call in, ask questions, if there's anything you're not sure of, or if you've been, you know, in the court system and you've tried maybe writing to them and you know, the letters have failed and all of these kind of things. You know, if you've been in the court and tried arguments and they failed, maybe I can help explain why they failed. And, you know, the next time you go in there, maybe we can sort of learn, you know, from the mistakes that you made in the courtroom. So just a quick bit of background into how you became, you know, the legal person that you are. And, you know, there are a lot of sort of different variants of this, but basically when you're born, you have a mother and father. You're born in a hospital for the most part. A long form birth certificate, which is what it's called in this country, is created. It has the, you know, the hospital, the doctor's name on it, the mother and the father, and it's got a lot of information on that long form birth certificate, and that's an A4 size piece of paper. And at that sort of time, there aren't any problems, which you wouldn't expect. But what they then do is your mother usually goes off to register the birth. She does so, and what comes out in the post for you then, albeit you're unaware at that time, is a short form birth certificate. Without going into too much detail, it is, I mean, the short form birth certificate is kind of like a death certificate. That's what it's being called by the likes of Winston Shrout and, you know, people like that. But in any event, the short form birth certificate is a title. That title then really shouldn't be used. It's a title. Your given name, for example, my given name was Dave, Dave Matthews. But the short form birth certificate is a title. So if, for example, you then go off and apply for a driving license or a passport or anything, you know, any government paperwork where you produce this identification, being the short form birth certificate, that identifies you as an employee or similar of the Crown or the government. So you've used that identification to obtain more government identification. I'm not going to go into too much more detail on that at this stage in the game, and I just want to explain a little bit about, you know, what the Crown is and who Her Majesty is, and I'm not sure whether people will know that sort of information. But the Her Majesty, which is, you know, Her Majesty's Courts and Tribunal Services, Her Majesty's Customs and Excise, Her Majesty's Inland Revenue, all of that stuff, Her Majesty, is actually Her Majesty in Right of England, for the most part, which is the Crown Corporation, or the Corporation of London. So it's Her Majesty and Right of England Corporation of London. There is another Her Majesty, which is all caps, Her Majesty, which is a US corporation. So we've all been led to believe, and you know, I was led to believe that Her Majesty, anything that says Her Majesty in some way represented or was, you know, the Queen. But it's actually the corporation. And then, you know, Dean Clifford teaches people that, you know, you're only a corporate agent or an agent of the government if you're using their paperwork. So if you get pulled over and you've got a driving license, the first thing the police do is they work on the presumption that you've got government identification on your car, which is a number plate. You've got a government-issued tax disc. You've got a government-issued driving license, and they ask you to, you know, produce your driving license, produce your insurance. And from that moment in time, you know, if they're intending to prosecute you for anything, or you don't, you know, produce your documents, because a lot of the time we don't have those documents on us, they're working on the presumption that we are agents of government. So if you run along and produce your documents and there's something not in order, they can basically do what they like. They'll get you in a magistrate's court. You're only going in there just to discuss how much money you're going to be paying them. For the most part, they'll just grease you up and shaft you. And that's what I'm trying to, you know, teach people to get out of. And you'll have to bear with me because I'm new to this. I'm sort of only just coming to the public. Then, you know, another thing with the driving stuff is that in insurance, you actually declare that you're performing a public function of some kind right in the insurance policy, which is another presumption then that they use in court. So you get, I'll give you like a scenario. You're pulled over. You don't have an MOT. No, perhaps a better scenario. You go through a speed camera and they write to you and they ask you who was driving at the time of the complaint, and you know, you have to fill in the form in all capitals, and you know, that's quite obviously corporation paperwork. And I tested this in a reverse sort of method whereby I've written a letter to them. You know, I went through a stage where I was going through speed cameras, not, you know, not excessive speed, but just fast enough to get a flash, and I'd write a letter, a long letter, saying, you know, my name is Dave Matthews. I was in this vehicle at the time of the complaint. You know, quite blatant. That's the first thing on the letter. I was in this vehicle at the time of the complaint. However, although I have a UK driving license, I was not using it at the time of the complaint. And the whole thing goes, you know, the whole process takes about 6 months, and you write back and forth, and, you know, the idiot on the other end that just keeps writing to you saying, you know, we're going to take you to court, we're going to take you to court. Eventually, they take you to court. So I did a couple that, you know, I just let them then take me to court, and I didn't show up. Although I did place on the court file the copy of the letter that I'd written, the first letter, the first paragraph, it says right in there, I'm Dave Matthews, and I was driving the vehicle at the time of the complaint. So right there, I tell them who it was. And this is a prime example of how stupid the system is. So they have their court case, you know, their stupid magistrate, the three idiots get up on the bench, you know, and they sort of write a letter a couple of days later. Yeah, we're going to do you for failing to provide details, and we're going to do you for the speeding. So it ends up like an 800 quid fine. So they've ignored the fact that they asked, just because I didn't fill in the actual paperwork in all capitals, which would have given me, you know, written away all my rights and what have you. And although I told them in the first paragraph that I was, you know, behind the wheel at the time of the complaint, they still did me for failing to provide details. So that's an example of the written process, then, if you like. What we're finding is, you know, from a success point of view, court successes, what we're finding best off now is going into the court and just dealing with it in the spoken word. Literally, don't file any paperwork. Don't even bother with it. Just learn who you are, learn what the person is, and learn how to use it. So it brings us on to the person, and it's all about sort of capacity. what capacity you get to court in, what capacity you were, you know, all the way through your day, you're acting in slightly different capacities. And, you know, so when you turn up in court, the way the magistrates work over here is that what I'd like is a few of you people to go in and actually sit for a day in a magistrate's court, whether here in traffic cases or something similar. They'll always, the guy walks in, you know, the poor sod who's going to get greased up walks in, and he stands there, and name, and he goes, Mr. Yada, 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 date of birth, and he goes, blah, 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 blah. And then they tell him, well, you're here to be greased up and fucked over today because you did this wrong and you did this wrong, and it's going to cost you a lot of money. Is that okay? And the poor sod will nod his head. So they're gonna fuck him over. So they basically have their little stupid discussion. Sometimes they'll go out into their little, you know, cup of tea room and have a cup of tea. They come back in, they make it look all very scary, you know, and they're up on their stupid bench, and you know, they haven't got a clue what's going on. The clerk knows what's going on, but she's the only legal representative in the room. They come back in, Mr. Yada, 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 we find that, you know, you are guilty of these offences, and we're going to punish you by way of a fine. Is that, do you understand? And this guy who's now become a zombie will probably nod his head, you know, and just totally agree with everything they're doing, walks out. Gets told by the fines officer that, you know, he's got to pay 800 quid. It's payable now. And, you know, you can sort of pay a bit at a time, but you do risk the bailiffs coming around and blah, blah, blah. So that's pretty much how the system is working on a daily basis, day in, day out, in whatever area you live in. And I would, if you're trying to get into this or you're trying to learn about this stuff, I urge you to just go and sit. Because I've done this for, you know, days and days and days and days. Just go in, sit at the back of the courtroom, and just watch what goes on. And the guy who's getting done, or the girl that's getting done, or the lady, or the man, or the woman, they never, ever, ever speak other than to confirm their name. They don't say anything, and they just get shafted. So it's what you want to be doing is, when you go into the courtroom with the legal person, you don't want to be making the argument, I'm not the legal person. You want to get right down as soon as you walk in there. You know, if you're not sure about your rights, if you walk into the dock and such like, just ask them right out. Just say, are my inherent rights protected by entering this room? And they will say yes. You know, they'll say, yeah, you're right. You know, because they're trying to pretend that, you know, this is a fair system. They're trying to pretend that what's going on is fair and just and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, the clerk will then ask you, you've got, for those of you who don't sort of know much about the court, some will be well versed in what it is, but you've got your three magistrates for the most part on the bench, and then you've got the clerk, and then you've got an usher usually, and then whatever parasitic lawyers are sitting on the various benches discussing what they're going to do with each other, but you can just ignore them. But anyway, you want to be saying, well, you know, They'll keep asking you, are you Mr. So-and-so? Are you Mr. So-and-so? Date a bit. And you want to say right there and then, you know, hi, yeah, I'm Dave. I'm here to deal with that matter. And I'm making a special appearance. I'm here by way of a special appearance. And I'm not prepared to waive any deficiencies in your case. And the reason that you make special appearance, another, I think they call it propria persona as well, but the reason you make special appearance is because by making a special appearance, you do not admit to jurisdiction. So you're not there arguing with them about jurisdiction. They know right there and then special appearance questions jurisdiction. When people go in and admit to being Mr. David Matthews, date of birth, blah, 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 they make that's a general appearance. And what I always like to add when I make a special appearance, because when you make a special appearance, you actually waive all of the deficiencies in their case. So right from that point, once you've made a general appearance, you've just admitted jurisdiction, and, you know, it's the same as employing a lawyer. As soon as you employ a lawyer, you throw away all your rights. You don't question any of the deficiencies, and you give them jurisdiction. So special appearance questions that from the get-go. You don't admit jurisdiction. Once you've got out there, I always like to say I'm a non-resident of the UK, and I'm here in the capacity of a private individual, because if you don't make it clear, resident we have all probably been taught that the word resident means that, you know, we live in the United Kingdom, but resident actually means you hold office. It's one of the sort of trick words that they use. So if you let them know that you're a non-resident of the UK, they know right off the bat what you're on about. And for the most part, that is enough. But you will get, you know, clerks and some of the magistrates, very rarely, because the magistrates are usually useless, but some of the clerks will sort of question you a little bit. Just, you know, you can't just go in and sort of use these words and hope that it's like a magic phrase or a magic sentence, because they will push you and they will try and trick you and get jurisdiction over you. And, you know, they'll go right back to, well, are you so-and-so? And you can just keep saying, no, I'm Dave. I'm here to deal with this matter. You know, I'm here to deal with this matter. I'm here in this capacity. So if you don't tell them what capacity you're in, if you don't tell them you're making a, you know, a special appearance and question jurisdiction, they will presume that you are there as an agent of government, because they have sent you a letter which identifies your name in all capital letters, which is a corporate identification. They're calling the officer of the corporation. You hold office. You're there because you broke one of their shitty tribunal. You're in their shitty tribunal to discuss the fact that you've just broken one of their stupid laws. If they push you on it, as you've got to learn how to operate within the person. You know, you can start doing clever things like claiming all the equity in the court file and such like when you get into it a bit more. But for the most part, you know, if they continue to push you, that you can then be the authorized representative of the name. So it just reaffirms who you are, what you're there as, because they will try and sort of, they'll try and administrate on your behalf. This usually is enough to shut down, and it certainly has been enough to shut down any of the cases that we've seen where it's just been, you know, you've been in there and used the sort of spoken word to fight these things. You know, you can once you start sort of getting familiar with it and you're starting to enjoy it, you can start sort of toying with them a little bit if you want to, and that's always fun. You know, you can start asking them questions about facts and evidence and, you know, like the Mark Stevens type methods. You know, is there any, have you got any witnesses with personal first-hand knowledge? And I've been, you know, waving around the police statements. I don't know if anybody's sort of familiar with the exclusion rule on the witness statements of the police. They sort of draw a box around the bit where they say that, you know, this is the truth and I'm a police officer and blah 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 blah, and they just draw a box around it which excludes it from the document. So he could write pretty much anything in that box and it wouldn't mean jack shit. So pardon my French, by the way. So the person then really is not to be feared. It's the most powerful thing, you know, that you've got. The person is, if you can imagine, you couldn't go in and get a bank account. If you wanted a bank account, you the human or the, you know, divine or whatever you want to, whatever, I don't know, people call it loads of different things. You need a legal person to get a bank account. You need a legal person to, you know, operate in the world of commerce. But it doesn't mean that by being, you know, the legal person is part of you, but the legal person isn't all of you. You know, the legal person is your, you know, if you're a house builder, the legal person is your saw, it's your hammer, it's your, you know, your nail, it's your plane, it's your sandpaper. The legal person is no more than a tool in the world of commerce, in the world of, you know, the government world that they've created. So, you know, we're hearing of people now that are just running away. You know, I'm not the legal person, and I'm not, you know, I'm refusing the right to be recognized as a person. And if you can live totally outside the system, as some people do successfully, then that's fair enough. But once you learn to use the person to your advantage, then you can really, really empower yourself. So I'm really, really keen to help people get to grips with it, you know, and teach you how to use it as a tool. So I don't know if there's any questions so far that anybody wants to come in with or anything. Can't see anybody waiting there.
I don't know how long my audio will.
Yeah, that's okay.
Well, last day, unfortunately. It may be all right, but when it goes up, well, the audio should be all right, but my screens will go off and then I can't see any. But there you go. I have now got black screens. Yeah, I'm listening. I'm soaking it all in. I'm not involved in any criminal court cases. I'm perplexed. I mentioned to you this before about what I should do regarding my outstanding mortgage.
Yeah,
and certain things that have happened regarding that.
I mean I should have thought of it before, but that's a great example there you were saying, because your wife had, she was executor for you, wasn't she? Was your wife executor, or did she have power of attorney?
Yes, I'm not sure which one it actually was. It was one or the other. When the mortgage was took out, I was exempt under the Mental Health Act because of the medication I was on. I always like to say because of the medication, because when you say that, people think you're nuts. Well, I might be a little nuts, but, you know, it was because when I was under that much medication, I couldn't think straight. And I kind of see that's why it's there.
I agree with that. But, I mean, it gives a great example of what government have done to all of us, because you may well have consented to your wife having power of attorney or being the, you know, administrator for you on your behalf, but government have actually done this to us without our knowledge. So you could say that, you know, the birth certificate was issued with malicious intent. You know, and stuff, they actually administrate on a daily basis on our behalfs without our consent, although they trick us into giving consent. So I think it's a really good way of getting people to understand how they're sort of tricking us. So the consent, they have to govern, and they have to have these court cases, and they have to do everything by consent. That, make no mistake about that. They, as soon as they know you don't consent and you start, questioning jurisdiction properly, they will back off because they're now harming you. And with like using that sort of example is brilliant. And all the listeners, you know, whatever listeners there, just bear with me a bit because obviously I'm a bit new to talking into the microphone. Sort of, I've been behind the scenes for a lot of years, and I got a bit fired up recently, and I'm sort of. That's why I'm here now, trying to come into the public. You know, I'm happy for people to sort of contact me and email me and ask questions on here. That's what I'm here for. I want people to ask questions. I want people to give me examples of problems, you know, and what people have to get leveled out as well. You know, I hear people say, you know, there's, for an example, just because the, you know, it's, you hear of it in the news all the time, somebody who's growing rooms full of cannabis, you know, and you might say, you might be trying to help these people, and they're like, oh no, but this is really, you know, this is really serious. It's not any statutory law. It doesn't matter what it is, how they dress it up, how serious it is. Yeah, it's serious in their world. It's serious if you're an agent of the government or you're an employee of the Crown, but it's puke. That's all it is. It's crap. And it's crap that they just make up to make money from you. You know, it does. As long as you know how to handle yourself in court and what the legal person is and how powerful the legal person is, it doesn't matter if you've got, you know, 10 acres of cannabis growing, and, you know, it doesn't make any difference at all. Any statute, any act can only apply to government. And I've got, you know, a law book, like I said before, written by a professor from Oxford, and it says right in there, the Crown only have legal power in the capacity of employer. It says it right in there, you know, and Dean Clifford has sort of, you know, been teaching this sort of method and trying to get this through people's heads for years and years and years, and that's why I want to try and get people into the fact that don't be afraid of the person, don't be afraid of it. You know, the person's like your building tools, or the person's like a car. You don't get in a car and start driving it without having, you know, without knowing how to use it, because you're just going to fuck it up, crash it into a tree, crash it into a wall, and then you're going to be cussing about the car. Well, it's not the car's fault. It's your car for trying to drive it when you didn't know how to drive it. You know, it's a very, very easy thing to use. The legal person is an easy thing to use, but you've just got to know how to use it. So, but yeah, so carry on, yeah.
Well, I heard your offer then. I mean, you can gladly get on and have a go with me, Dave, with my mortgage company. That should be quite good fun, actually, because, like I say, I haven't done anything yet. I've also got a case where my house was raided by Great Manchester Police.
Yeah.
Where I was, well, I wasn't even in the country.
Yeah, yeah.
There was somebody else occupying the building at that time, and then they arrested me, hanged me for 3 months, and then eventually I went to the police station where they imprisoned me for a day, basically, yeah. And then let me go. And 14 days later, they brought no charges.
Yeah.
At all. So that's something I've got to deal with as well. I haven't actually dealt with yet. I have had complaints against the police in the past through the normal procedure, and I've had them upheld.
Yeah.
The solicitor I spoke to regarding the raid on the house said it was a vindictive attack.
Yeah.
And they stood by that with the police. The solicitors, they stood by it. So... but yeah, the mortgage, going back to the mortgage one, I'm happy for them things to be public. I have nothing to fear, you know.
Yeah.
But the mortgage one, I think we'll need to make a couple of phone calls and get in touch with them.
Yeah.
Where I'm at with it is, I contacted my mortgage company after my statement arrived with my ex-wife's new married name on it.
Right.
I'm divorced. I got the property, I'm paying for the mortgage, that was supposed to be the end of it.
Yeah.
My responsibility now. Like yourself, I'm taking responsibility for my person. I haven't been responsible. Now I've realised I can be responsible. I thought I'd have a go, you know.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. On that then, did, you know, you say you're divorced. Did you get rid of the power of attorney that she had?
Yes.
So that was all taken away from her. So she's no longer.
It went from her then to my daughter because they coerced between themselves and led me to believe that I must have a carer or somebody, basically, where my finances were going to. And it was my friend Nigel Rawlins, the ex councillor who's now active in our Ashton allotment action and in the Green Party, who actually stepped in as my temporary, you know, with the powers of attorney over me, my executor, temporary.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And while he was temporary executor, he used his powers to say that I was now capable of doing it myself.
Right.
That's how we got out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you need some. You admit I couldn't take that back because I've been exempt. And the weird thing is they've accepted that, but really it should be a doctor who actually says that. I'm no longer exempt. So I've kind of took that power back myself, which has worked.
Well, that's good.
So, yeah, the what actually happened was I got that. That's why I was like, why has this happened? And I rang them up and I explained to them. Now, on that mortgage, it said Mr. Paul Hayden, myself, and Mrs. Bleep Bleep. Now, they changed the name. I don't want to mention her name. You know, that's her affair now.
Yeah.
So I rang them up and I said, well, why, how has this name come onto this document
I've got? To start with, though, the mortgage was in prior to her.
It was in Mr. and Mrs. The name was Paul Hayden and Mrs. Hayden. Yeah? That's what the name was in that order. I rung them up because my statement had come with Mr. Paul Hayden, which I've been told is the principal debtor, the one with the first name. Which it was myself, and I told them, and
that
said...
that makes sense, actually, because, your Mr. was left off in your first one.
Yes.
It was just Paul Hayden and Mrs.
I know, it was Mr. Excuse me, that's my error. It was Mr. Paul Hayden and Mrs. Paul on both.
Yeah.
Now, I rang them up, and I said to them, look, why has this happened, and blah, blah, blah. No, we can do that, because this is it, and that's that. And it was rubbish. I just knew it was rubbish, but they'd changed this name, because... my ex-wife had actually been in touch with them.
Yeah.
For what reasons, again, no idea. It's nothing to do with her anymore. Yeah. Nothing at all.
But it sounds like she's administrating without permission.
Well, either way, when I rang them up and I told them about this, they told me on the phone that if that was the case and I was exempt, then I was missold the mortgage. That's what I was told. So I rung my local branch, and they made it a complaint. I was making an inquiry. They turned it into a complaint.
Yeah.
I went on to my internet banking next, and I looked on my mortgage, and the name's been changed now, and it still stands like this, as now Mrs. and a new married name, as the principal debtor, and I've been placed as the second debtor. Okay, they've actually changed that when I've informed. So I've rung them up to ask them an inquiry.
And the property, actually, where's the property? The property is your property.
I'm in it, yes. But she's been now being made the principal debtor of the mortgage. As they realise.
Oh, I just send her a thank you letter.
I'm paying it. This is the irony. I'm paying this mortgage and I've been on to them and they said, if that was the case, then I would be exempt. I asked them to send me the documentation. They said there was no notification. There was no notes about this on the documentation. They've sent me the documentation and on that it says comments. And under comments it said both payments made to Mrs. You see?
Yeah.
No payments were being made to me because financially I was exempt. The money I was receiving at the time wasn't paid to me.
Yeah.
It was paid to my ex-wife for me because I wasn't legally responsible.
Yeah, yeah.
Now they're holding me legally responsible for a debt that I wasn't responsible when it was originally took out. The original paperwork, it is wrong. It should have read at very minimum, and now I don't know about this, Dave, but as I get it should have been read as a minimum, Mrs. blah, 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 and Mr. the second way around. Well, it shouldn't have even said Mr. It would have been
four. So she's still the principal debtor on the second, when she should have been the principal debtor, and she's not.
Yeah, but as I get it, because it was done wrong, and it says on it, and they've done it wrong, and the note is actually on the form.
Yeah.
Then that, no, it was missold.
Yeah, it sounds very much like it's missold. The only argument they could make if they came to court, from what I can see, is because you've made two payments, the judge may judge that you've agreed or you've entered into an agreement. They sometimes use that where people have made arguments where mortgage companies have changed hands, say, you know, Santander or whatever Santander, they buy Halifax, whatever. I can't even remember who was who, but if at the point that they swapped or they were bought out by somebody, you stopped from that point because you didn't agree with what was going on, you would have almost certainly beaten them in court because the agreement was null and void because they'd breached the agreement. But if you, which is what happened with most people, just carried on paying, all of the cases I've seen with mortgages, the judges made the determination that because you paid it, you therefore agreed, you know, because in their will, in their sort of will, the silence is consent or whatever. You didn't protest it before you started paying. You could go in and say, you know, this has just been brought to your attention. They need to correct a mistake, and that, you know, these payments have been made in error, and you don't have, they don't have, they've missold the mortgage. I think that would be a good argument, but without sort of, I would need to see the paperwork in front of me so I could read it and digest it a bit better, so I can get a full sort of picture, if you like. I'm making notes here as I go, but yeah, I'd be very interested to get involved in that.
Well, yeah, welcome. You're actually welcome. I can't actually see any of my screens at the moment, so I just wanted to let the other people know in the chat I can't actually see what's...
Yeah, I can't see if anybody's waiting to speak or anything.
Right, I did see before my screens went black. I do think Jabba's there. I'm pretty sure...
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, cheers, man. If somebody could actually speak up and tell us what's going on in text, because my screens are all black.
If anybody wants to speak, ask away.
Yes. Hi, Dave.
Hiya, how are you?
Thanks for being on Dark City Radio.
Oh, you're very welcome.
I just have a little question. I didn't knew that you it was a show like that on the Dark City Strowman show. It's very good. I just have one little question that comes to my mind is, when you talk about the people in the court and stuff, do they know what is really going on?
Yes, for the most part. There may be the odd one that doesn't, but for the most part, the clerk does know what's going on. If they try and do the thing where they look at you stupid and, like, you know, try and tell you that you're crazy and they haven't got a clue what you're on about, just turn around and say, well, I suggest that you sort of recuse yourself and get somebody that does know what I'm on about, you know. But again, it's something that you need to sort of be pretty familiar with, you know, learn how to use it properly, because they will try these sort of tricks. They've got coercive powers, and that in all of the administrative law books that I've read, it says in there that they do have coercive powers, so they can, you know, they can try and trick you into assuming the capacity of, you know, one of their officers, which is the only thing that they can act upon. So what I think you've got to sort of get, you know, what people have got to get into their head, and there is case law to support this. It's like R versus Dell, 2001. R versus Big M Drug Mart, I think, is another one. R versus Chicago Motor Coach, that's another one. You know, that the acts and statutes do only apply to government. There's, you know, case law out there, but you don't want to really start bringing case law into a case, because case law is case relevant. But when they use it, they don't, you know, let you know it's case relevant. They just say, oh, well, there's case law to support this, blah, 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 you know. And you want to be saying, well, I don't really care about case law because it's case relevant, you know, sort of turn it around on them. But you've got to get into your head that what a magistrate's court case is, and there's an even lower form of a magistrate's court, which is the council tax court. But the magistrate's courtroom is nothing more than an internal tribunal for the government, for the Crown, you know, the Crown Corporation. That is all it is. It's no different to Coca-Cola or, you know, John Lewis. If you worked for John Lewis and you broke one of John Lewis's, they must have like a, you know, a list of rules and regulations. And if you break one of those when you're on duty at John Lewis, you're going to get hauled over the coals. You're going to be in the tribunal. They're going to be like, you know, well, what we've decided to do to you is blah, 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 blah. Well, that's fair enough. But if you work for John Lewis and you're not on duty and you break one of their regulations, what, you know, can they come at you then? If you get what I mean, can they attack you? Can they start coming after you? You broke one of the regulations. What, you broke a John Lewis regulation and you weren't on duty at that time when you broke that code. Can they do anything?
They can't.
No, and it's exactly the same. But what government are doing and what the Crown are doing, Her Majesty's Courts and Tribunal Service, what they're doing is they are tricking you into admitting to be on duty, or they're presuming that you're on duty. So
yeah, but it is not a little bit like the policeman who exactly know how he can in a way trick you, but in a way he's blinded to just use the tools they give it to him that he can
With what I try and sort of tell people is you're never, for the most part, and I'm not saying this is across the board and this might not be everybody else's opinion, but for the most part with the police, they go and employ now the stupidest idiots that they can find who will just do stuff without question. They don't, you know, they get given a book, a list of things that they go by, and they're not interested in the law. They're not remotely interested in the law. You start quoting, you know, law to them, like you hear Dean Clifford's recording 12 minutes on the side of the road, you know, and the guy in Canada, that he didn't even know that there was a Canadian Bill of Rights. He was trying to tell Dean that, you know, that it was a USA document. For the most part, the police is the don't just be as polite as you can to the police and just get away from them, because they are, for the most part, idiots, and they don't care about your arguments. They'll still take your car, they'll still do what they're going to do to you, because they want to show you how much authority that they've got. And then, like I say, the best way to deal with it then is just to go in and deal with it in the magistrate's court, and you won't even be in there 3 minutes. You know, that's how easy it is. It's not a complicated thing to do. It's not, you know, you haven't got to learn codes and statutes and legalese and all of that crap. It's just a distraction. All you need to know is who you are, what the person is, and how to use it. And then once you do get an understanding of that, there's 1,000 different ways that you could, you know, just walk straight out of that room scot-free, because it their laws are irrelevant. They are absolutely irrelevant to you once you know who you are. So I hope that sort of helps. But ask away if you've got any more questions.
BJ, have another question, who is with me.
Nice to meet you, Dave.
Hi, how are you?
Not too bad. A little bit about Bob's mortgage scenario.
Yeah.
It's how is money created, you know? The banks, it's non-disclosure, you know?
Yeah.
Because they just need his sign of nature. And also, when it comes down to the deed.
Yeah.
The deed,
I'm not an expert on the mortgage stuff by any means. I've done a bit with it, but the money, a guy has come out of the monetary, the IMF, and actually admitted under oath that money is created out of thin air. But
and also is I was watching an Irish guy on YouTube, is something Return to Sender.
Yeah,
where it's the how they use word magic, like your signature is actually a sign of nature, because the straw man cannot act upon anything, cannot speak anything, but they need your sign of nature. That's what a signature is.
I haven't heard that one.
I'll try and send you the link.
Yeah, if you can, or just tell me what the link is, and I'll have a look at it. But
I studied the straw man scenario for quite a few years, and it is about getting it out of your head that you are not this piece of paper.
Yeah,
and this piece of paper does not represent the flesh and blood living being, you know, which is a creator created by God, and God did not give us a name.
Yeah,
it's a society, and also the title Mister.
Yeah, you know, well, Mister does identify you as a slave in some way, shape, or form. Mister is a derogatory term. Yeah,
in order to operate under UCC, you need the title.
Yeah, I mean, in the commercial world, the you need a legal person for the commercial world, but the title is the issue from the short form birth certificate. That is your title.
And the other thing is, you made a good point there as well, you know, whenever anyone or anything with your name inside a box, that means you have no way of getting out, because you're not free to go out of that box.
It's an is from contract law. It's the exclusion rule, the boxes.
You know?
Same with the lining, really. So, but a mortgage is sort of... the thing is, with a mortgage, you act... I don't want to go too deep into the mortgage, because I think people need to look into the mortgage stuff for themselves. But I'll give you a little bit of information. A mortgage, when you go for a mortgage, you are acting in two capacities.
Yeah.
And you are the creator in one of the capacities that you act in, and you are the debtor in the other capacity.
Yeah.
But no one ever shows back up as the debtor.
The debtor, yeah.
That gets forgotten, because you create your the bank, if you can get this, the bank they're a paid agent in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
The interest is their sort of agent fee for accessing the funds. Wherever they come from. You know, you'd have to sort of look into that, but you are the creator. So if you created it, you know he who creates owns. Don't know if you're familiar with
that.
So you are the creator of the mortgage, therefore you own the mortgage. But then when the funds are issued, you sign in a different, and again, person you sign in a different capacity, and you are the debtor.
Debtor.
Okay, you are the debtor. But you never, ever, ever show back up again and say, hey, how's my mortgage doing?
No.
When am I going to get payments?
Also, the other thing with the straw man, I actually managed to access that on the London Stock Exchange. I've got all the documents. There were some PDF files that are actually tied to the straw man that tells you the actual amount of money that is invested in your name.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I've heard this. I've heard a few different arguments on this, but I'd be very interested if you could provide me with the details so I could go and look it up. I don't think I'd be worth a lot.
The other thing was when I started to access it and see how the funds were being pushed around, you know?
Yeah.
And after about 3 months, it just got taken off because I couldn't access it again with my birth certificate. Then I did a search on the Euroclear. It was there.
Wow.
Ended up on the Euroclear. But I have all the files, and to really tie it, on with your birth certificate, because there's an ISNI number there, and the only way you can actually access it into the exchange mechanism is through your birth certificate. So automatically, if I have this documentation and my birth certificate side by side, it's saying, okay, how did I access it? I used that number there, which is on my birth certificate. How can it be on the London Stock Exchange?
Yeah, I would love to see that.
You go to London Stock Exchange, you put your birth certificate in the search field, you go to bond, and you...
It's retail bond.
Retail bond.
And supranational entity.
Supranational entity. Yes. And there a whole list is coming out.
Oh, wow.
And I thought I was going mad. Then I checked my kids in Norway. They had it. I asked my nephews in England.
Pardon? Was it entity, you said, yeah?
Supranational entity. Supranational entity.
It's not super, it's supra.
Supranational entity.
Supranational entity. Okay, I'll take a look at that as well.
I'd love to help you with this because I've spent a lot of time in this and I've got a lot of research material as well.
Yeah, I have heard. I've heard an awful lot of people talking about this. You know, some people say that it's true. Some people say that it's not. So, yeah, I'd be very, very interested to actually see it. You know,
and also to go into the misrepresentation act, because it comes under fraudulent behavior by the banks. So it comes under misrepresentation.
Well, yeah, I mean,
it's not full disclosure of the contract. And the contract, if you understand contract law, is two people that signs a contract.
Well, yeah, there's got to be valuable consideration.
You know, so all of these things.
Valuable consideration in a birth certificate.
Yeah. So all of these things. Yeah, I'd love to coerce with you a little bit with this over a period of time and try definitely. And get this information out. And also regards to Black Law's dictionary, certain words that are entrapment and how to really understand or overstand, so shall we say, the terminology of words that we use on a daily basis, but we have no blind idea how it can be
again, what I try and sort of...
Excuse me, Dave. One more. You can hear me. Brilliant. Do you want to carry on running over?
We'll run over into
the Dark City if the lads... perhaps could just put a tune on or maybe a jingle or something for 2 or 3 minutes. And then we'll run through, lads, if you're all right with that, JP and...
VJ.
VJ. God, get it right eventually. And Jabber. And, yeah, is that all right with everyone?
Yeah, that's fine, yeah.